My name is Jason Ron, and I'm 40 years old, and today is May 9th, 2014, and we're at the library in Camden, Maine, and talking with my grandfather, Gordon Harris.
My name is Gordon Harris. I am 93. Today's date is May 9th, 2014. We are located at the public library in Camden, Maine. And the relationship I have is with my grandson, number one.
Well, you want to talk about your love story about your wife, Marcia, my grandmother. So Where is the best place to start that story, Grampy?
Well, I think the best place was your grandmother and I had been married for 63 years, and it was suggested by yourself, Jason, to comment on it or write a story on it. So I thought, well, it's a good time right now that she's passed away, that it's a good time to write the love story and the love I have in my heart, that I had in my heart for her and still have, and for my family. When I was in the service in Canada in 1940, I think it was, that we were down in a place called Petawawa, Ontario, and I was at camp down there, and I had a letter, and the return address on it was Marcia E. Spaulding. Now, I had no idea who Marcia E. Spaulding was, so I just thought, well, I guess the best way to find out is to open it up. So I opened it up, and she related to me that she was a friend of my aunt and uncle in Worcester, Massachusetts, and that her dad went to Worcester Tech with my uncle. And so I thought, well, I guess I might as well keep on writing. So, you know, when you're overseas or when you're going overseas and you need all the help you can get, you need all the writings you can get. So we continued to write, and she told me that she was a pen pal to 30 other people, but she just let them go and just wrote to me. And we wrote for, maybe I was overseas for 4 years, and all the time we were over there, we had mail. I guess if we had to pay for the mailing, we would have kept the post office in spending money. So, but we wrote at least once a week and sent pictures. I had a picture one day, and you know, you've seen it many times because I carry it in my wallet, and I fell in love with that picture. And I just kept reading writing and sending pictures of myself, and she'd send pictures back to me. And it seemed that we got to a point where we knew that we would be, at one time or another, we were made for each other. So I had picked up a piece of aluminum that we had when I was overseas. We were near a wrecked airplane, so I sort of took this little piece of aluminum and made a ring out of it. So I sent it home to your grandmother, and we decided that we were engaged from that time on. I went through the war almost to the end without a scrape, and it seems like on the 7th of January, I had, by mistake, my pal and I had put in a too much coal and coke into a heater stove in a building that we were in France, and not paying too much attention to the heat that was coming out of it, which it was backing up, the flu backed up and had a little dose of carbon monoxide poisoning. Well, it happens that it was unfortunate that I lost my buddy Jim, and I continued on till the end of the war. But I was in the hospital from January the 7th until after the war was over. And finally, when I got home, I'm sort of pushing this story along a little bit. But after I got home, I took a hurried up trip down to Framingham, Massachusetts to see who I'd been writing to for the last 4 years. And I got off the train in Framingham, Massachusetts, and she was there waiting for me, and we looked at each other, and we just said, yeah, I guess you're the one. So we got married in Winnipeg on the 18th of May, 1945, and my wife wasn't a city person. She was more like a country cousin or something, but because she couldn't get along with the big city. Winnipeg was a big city, and after a while, she kept saying, well, back home, back home, back home. And I said, okay, let's go back home. So we went back to Framingham, and her father was kind enough to let me work in his store and live in the house. This was after we were married, of course. And we brought up two children, boy and a girl. What else could you get? And we lived there in Framingham till 1988, till my wife's parents passed away finally. Then we bought a home in Plant City, Florida. We went down to Florida, but in the meantime, my two children had grown up, and they had come across with, two daughter had two boys, and son and his wife had two girls. So what more could you ask for grandchildren? So we were in Florida for 17 years. Finally, my daughter used to come down, and she said to me one year, Daddy, she says, she's got that Alzheimer's, and we got to get her back, get up closer to me, closer to her in Lincolnville, so that we could look after you. So we came up here and have been here for 7 years. 7 years, Jace? Yeah, okay. And we just keep living. My wife finally passed away in August of odd 8, and I've been going on with the love of my children, Jason and Adam, and my daughter and her family, and I don't know, just the story could keep on going and going and going. I could tell things about what happened. I get into church business, and well, I don't get into it too much anymore because I figure I'm getting too old. But I like to to bowl, and I like to eat, and I like to travel whenever I can. And at present, I'm very happily living with a lady that lost her husband of 20 years. And so there's just that, it's sort of she picked up on me and I picked up on her, and that was, and we've been going. Of course, I still have the support of my grandchildren, whom I love very much, and don't know what I could do, what I would do if any of them gave me up. So, I don't know how long I could go on. I can go on forever.
Well, we wouldn't give you up, Grampy, anyway. But
what?
Yeah, I have a question, because you're going to be shocked, but I don't remember hearing the ring story before. I'm sure I have. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I didn't put that in the thing.
No. Tell some more about it.
I got to write a new one. No, I have, I could tell stories all day long about the service. And when I was, I'll go way back, if I may. When I was 13, I think I was in, I was telling my girl Ruthie the other day, we were talking about things, and I was in Lord Strathcona Horse Cadet Corps. Now, if I had stayed in that and joined up in that, they ended up as a tank company during the Second World War, and I didn't like tanks. They made too much noise. But I ended up in the 2nd Heavy Anti-Aircraft Regiment, which with the big boom-boom guns that kept old Jerry partially away from London during the blitzes and all that stuff. And time just went on and went on, and there is a time when you never know who you're going to run into. Like I tell Ruth that I had a girlfriend in school in Regina that her mother was a teacher, and of course I used to go over to her house and do all my homework. But I did not know her father till we got over to Canvey Island in England, and we were on gun sight over there. And I was doing the mail one day, and I saw this guy's name, COX, I can't remember, David or whatever his name was. And I went up, I approached him, and I said, "Tell me, sir." Well, I wasn't a sir, because we were all GIs. Well, in the American slang, we were GIs. And I said, "Are you related to Phyllis?" He said, "Yeah, she's my daughter." I said, "Well, my gosh, it took all this time to find out who you were, who her father was." I said, "I went to school. Your wife was a teacher, and you just find out so many things."
So that's the guy that would hand you the letters that you got from back home, or not?
Yeah. Well, on site, everybody has a different job every day. I mean, you might be detailed to do the mail, and you had to take the mail around to the guys or whatever. Now, it's, I don't know, things just, you're going through life day by day, and right now I'm running into people that say, "I don't believe you because you don't look 93, you look 70. I say, "Oh, I love you very much," That is a very good word, love. There's three. I can't remember. My brain's gone. not really, but I lost my train of thought.
You started talking about love.
Oh, love, yes. Yeah, well, it's like us, every time we hang up on the phone, we say, I love you, and I love you too. And I got Bob saying it, I think, now.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Well, good
my
for you.
My son-in-law, his stepfather, is very, what is, I don't know, he's hard to get to know.
Yeah, he's just not very demonstrative in that way.
Yeah,
in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. I'm so curious about the letters that you sent. Can you describe what they said, what you were talking about in your letters?
Sweetheart, when you were in the war, I don't know whether you know you knew anything about this word was taken out and that word was taken out. So you had to watch, or you had to mind what you were writing, because there was such a thing as the censor department or whatever it was. But you tried to tell them the closest you could to the point, to the place that you were. And sometimes they would get through, and I'm kicking myself all the way to, I don't know, England and back, because I never saved any one of your grandmother's letters, for which I am very, very sorry.
Wow.
Because you would have loved to read them.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. When we started to clean out the house, when we were selling the house, I don't know. And all of a sudden I say, now where the heck are those letters?
Because she had yours, right?
Because she had mine.
Yeah.
But she saved mine. And that's the ones that I wrote to her. But
yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess when I went into the hospital in France there with that dose of carbon monoxide poisoning, everything, they just scrapped everything I had, my uniforms, everything.
And you went black for a while, right? I mean, you were out for a while, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
For
a while. I remember going to... I had just come back from a conference, and I don't know. We had this room in France that was connected with our gun site, and I had to do some washing. I was doing the washing, and Jim was quite a drinker, and he was down at the bar slopping up the stuff, and excuse the expression. But so I thought, well, I'm going to stay home and do my stuff. So I was happy, but the last I remember was I was groggy, 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 and I just laid down on the bed. And the next thing I know, 3 days later, I woke up in the hospital. So I was out for 3 days, and lost my buddy, because his heart wasn't as strong as mine, evidently. And seems that the time that I was there, I woke up in the morning and I'm looking up in the air and everybody's saying, good morning, good morning. I say, these people are crazy. The lights are on, it must be nighttime. And, but it wasn't nighttime. It was me just waking up. And so I woke up and I started to move a little bit, you know, and I said, Harris is awake. Oh boy. You know, I've been out for 3 days. So, then they brought in some food, and they said, aren't you going to eat? I said, well, I will if somebody feeds me. Feeds you? I said, yeah. Do I look like my hands are going to move? And I was able to talk, like I never learned not to talk. But so I was, maybe for almost three or four weeks I spent trying to get my body back in shape, and I was dead from the waist down. My feet would not move. My hand, well, even my hands weren't, wouldn't cooperate with my beano. And it took me quite a while. And I had this lovely nurse whose name was Wendy. Name was Wendy.
Wendy
Pinhill. And I used to call her Wendy Pinup.
Yeah.
She says, "Why do you say that?" I said, "Because if I had your picture, I'd pin it up on a wall." So we watched the growth of my feet down at the bottom of the blankets, and one day they started to move. And I just kept on making a move, making a move, making a move. Finally, they let me out of bed. I was gone. Well, no, I had to go and see what the heck else was going on. But, and that's about the closest I've had to being not here. I've had different things happen since I got home, but the love story is the one I wanted to...
Can you describe to Jason what... Marcia was your wife's name, is that right?
Yes.
Can you describe what she looked like? Because you said you got the picture and you fell in love, and then when you saw her, you knew.
Well, when you see somebody you like and you say they're beautiful, then you know, if you know what beauty is, then you, I don't know, Jace knows he knew her, and but she just, I don't know, there was something about, I think it was because she looked like Paulette Goddard. I don't know, you remember, no, that was she before your time.
Way before.
Or your mother's time, I think, no. But she looked like a movie actress, and she was just so adorable. And she was, I don't know, she was an organist and a pianist, and she's the one that got me started singing. But I don't know. I had some pictures. I wanted to bring them down, but I mean, you guys don't go for pictures.
Is the picture that you're talking about, is that the bathing suit picture?
Well, there's that one there. That's the one she had before she had a mastectomy. Yeah, because my wife had, she had breast cancer and she lost one. One of her breasts, and but that one was taken down on the docks in Winnipesaukee at the grandpa's, your great grandpa's cottage.
Yeah, in the '40s, and then jumping to the '80s. That's when she had the mastectomy.
Yeah. Well, she grew old. She grew old very gracefully. But she was adorable, and she knew what she was doing most of the time, and all the time, until she started to get forgetful, and like we all do, I guess. But there's things in her life that will stand out forever. I mean, I have her picture on my dresser at home, and I tell her I love her all the time, and I got pictures of, well, you've seen them on, you were looking at them the other day, and I guess when we were in Florida, she loved to go into the pools and do her exercises, you know, because she wanted to keep up with the girls and all that stuff. But she's the one that, well, one of the things was that she got me going to a point where I had the worst, foulest mouth I think there was in the Army, but I started going to meetings with her, and became what they call born again and became more of a Christian than I ever thought I would could be. But and she started to speak for a going Christian Women's Club. And she started to speak for them. And I said, honey, if you're going to speak, I'm going to drive you, or I got to go with you. And so I might as well do the singing. So let's wake up, make some songs, get some songs going. And she said, okay. So between two or three years that we did that, we did 52 clubs, I think. I mean, 52 Christian women's clubs in Canada, United States. No, we didn't go to Mexico. No.
But you toured around.
Oh, like, yeah,
on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, we had. But other than I don't know. There's so many things that you could talk of, different things you could talk about. And
well, what are some of the other things that you did together? Because it wasn't just music and speaking.
No, we in Florida we went on a couple of cruises and oh yeah, we used to do a lot of square dancing. Even in Framingham, we did a lot of square dancing, mm-hmm. and followed the square dance trail across Canada one time, and I was just telling Ruthie about Renault Dauphine. And that's the year that Grammy and Roberta, and your mother and I, no. Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting mixed up. And we were on the roads, and the square dance train was on the tracks, of course.
Oh.
And we went all the way, we followed them all the way over to British Columbia. And then we got over there, and I had a cousin over there that lived in New Westminster. And so we followed them and stayed with them, and then we went down to see Annie Silla down in California. So, and we did the trip, but we did a lot of traveling. We did a lot of traveling. She loved to travel. She wasn't, her eyes were kind of bad, so she didn't do too much driving, except I steered and she drove.
What were some of the things about her or your relationship that were the most important or the most meaningful?
Well, I think one of the most important things she did, I guess, was 1 year for Christmas. You know, I've been singing most of my life, and even when I'm back in Regina, I was in this boys' club, choir, mm-hmm. I won't stretch my voice, might break the mic,
thank
but
you.
No. but she gave me, I kept saying, I wonder if my voice would be any better if I took lessons, and so one Christmas, I can't remember when it was, so far back, but she gave me a month's lessons with, well, I guess it was four lessons there, once a week with this Mrs. Heald from Framingham, who was a vocal teacher, and so from then on, I just kept right on with her, and I got jobs singing in churches, and Grammy and I sang together in Christian Women's Club, and like I said before, we just, that, and I don't know, she was a good cook, and I guess she knew how to handle you guys too, but and I mean, there's so many things that.
We have about 10 minutes.
Wow.
So any.
Can you talk a little bit about maybe one of your happiest memories with Marcia? Do you have like a happiest time?
Oh, that's a good question.
Happy times. Seemed most of my times with my wife were happy, but. I don't know, whenever we were out together, we seemed to be happy. When we were dancing, we were happy. And we used to do a lot of dancing. And Donna in Florida, down at the mobile home park we were at, there was a lot of dances. But probably after I leave here, I'll remember some of them if... If there were any more, I guess probably the couple of the happiest times is first one was when Perry was my son was born, our son was born, and then next one when Jason's mom was born, and those were happy times, and of course great Grampy he was crazy. He was crazy for his granddaughter, and it's hard to tell right now. If I had been keeping a diary, it would have been something. I probably could have. Can't figure the word out I want to use, but anyhow. Oh, I did when in Florida, you had to find something to do to keep yourself besides playing bowling 10 pins and playing golf and doing ceramics and doing, I did ceramics and anything to keep my hands busy. And the tying the knots there, whatever.
Macrame. Yeah.
Yeah. And the past thing that I did was I painted. Was it painted by numbers? Yeah. These guys can pick up a piece of take a piece of paper and a pencil and do something with it between him and his brother. And I gotta have directions. Well, I did 7, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Did five, and I got so bleary-eyed doing them that, you know, my eyes weren't as good as they used to was.
Well, recently you've been saying, you know, you've been kind of comparing, not really comparing, but Grammy and Ruthie, and you know, saying that you felt lucky that you had both, and that you didn't think that Grammy would mind if you were with Ruthie now.
No. I guess it was a couple of years after my wife had passed away. My girl that I have now, my lady, she lost her husband. I guess about the same time, and we go to this Cedar Crest down the street there. Well, it's Elm Street Grill now, but it was her birthday one day, and I'd made acquaintance with her somehow along the line, you know, because she was there every morning, and I used to go in there every morning before I started going to Mariners, and. One day I walked in somebody said, it's Ruthie's birthday. I said, oh. So I went over and I says, happy birthday, Ruth. And I gave her a kiss. And she said, would you like to sit down? So I said, sure. So we sat together. And every once in a while I'd come in, she'd be sitting there. And I'd go to another chair and either she'd come over to me or I'd go over to her. And... finally, one day, somebody came up and said, "Are you guys a pair yet?" Or whatever. What's the word they use on that? Are you a couple or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and so I said to her, "They want to know if we're a couple, hon." And I said, "Why don't we tell them yes? Why don't we be a couple?" So we were a couple, and she has a house, and I am living in an apartment. But so I don't. Once in a while, I'd sneak over there and sleep in her bed, and nothing happened. But that's beside the point. And so now it's. I don't know, either she's watching me or I'm watching her. And so we've been together now for, oh gosh, maybe a couple of months.
Couple of years.
What you asked me what you asked me the other day, is she staying over to your house? Like you were my mother or grandmother.
Well, I just didn't know if she ever went back to her own house. I know she's at your house
all the
time. Oh,
yeah, she goes. She's over there almost every day to check on the things. But that rhododendron was something. She loves flowers. And here's a woman that when I first met her, I didn't know whether I wanted to be with her or not. But, boy, she just grows on you. She grows on you. And she's intelligent, and she's been around for a few years, and I call her, a shopper?
Shopaholic.
Yeah. She gets lost in her own closet and can't find her way out looking for clothes. But anyway, I asked her the other day, I said, we were laying in bed. I said, "You know, honey," I said, "I don't think my wife would mind if she knew we were sleeping here together." She says, "I don't think so either."
And her husband, did she say anything like that about Frank?
Frank, I don't know. I never knew Frank. I wished I had known him. But she knew him because she worked. She worked the house for him, but she knew his wife too. But she's gotten adopted. Well, not an adopted family. What do you call them when they? Yeah.
Oh, like a step family.
Step family, yeah. And she calls them their kids. She calls you her kid now, too. My grandson. Where is he? So, you know, she's lovable.
And.
Yeah, well, we grew up with, my brother and I grew up with Grammy and Grampy and with my grandmother's parents, great Grammy, great Grampy, all in the same house.
Yeah.
You guys had all, you had lived in that house since the 40s, and my mom had grown up in that house, and we grew up in that house. And we have lots of memories. You guys took care of us, Grampy. I mean, Mom worked a lot when we were little, but I remember a lot of things about her, and I remember, I know that I was her favorite, and she was my favorite, too, and what do I remember? I remember she kept us busy, and she kept us in line, and when it was time to do something, it was time to do something, but also she would laugh with us sometimes, and she was always playing the piano, and you were always singing. You would practice together in the evenings when we were out in the back playing whatever we played when we were little kids.
So we have 2 minutes left. Can you, just in closing, maybe just say what you loved most about Marcia, and then maybe just wrap up your any final thought that you haven't gotten to say that you want to say?
No, I just loved the way she took care of the house and the way she looked after me, and because I was at one point I called myself a sot, and she just invited me to either give it up or get out. So I said, well, okay, give it. I gave it up, and I haven't had a drink of whiskey or any hard liquor since. I stick with wine. Other than that, she's, and smoking. She said you smoke too much. Yeah, she smoked a little bit, but other than that, no. She was lovable. She knew. She was a good pianist and good organist, and somebody. Sometimes you can't tell how much you love them until they're gone, you know. And then when they're gone, well, you just got to take care of yourself, I guess. Or look after somebody, or look for somebody else that'll look after you. So, other than that, my love story still goes on. I still love them, love her.
Yeah, we all do.
And my whole family, I love.
Yeah, we love her too, and we love you too.
Yep.